I'm glad to be here with you guys today and teach. I love teaching to you guys and bringing God's word and praying that it is his word. So it's interesting that we're able to, this is the first week that Wendy, since we've had Joshua, Wendy hasn't felt good. She's like literally been sick for like a month, and she finally, literally it's been like a month since she's been able to come to church. So it's pretty cool that it works out today that she was able to be here at Gap. We could introduce the new part to our family with you, because today we're in the second part of the series, You Are Here, and it's called There Is a Family, Are You In It? So there is a family, you are in it, so it was a perfect tie-in to this series, just being able to introduce Joshua. The message today, there is a family, and the part of my family is crying now. He's hungry. He's starving. Okay, I thought no better way than to kick off this message, there is a family, then with awkward family photos. And you're like, you look at this one initially, you're like, what's awkward about this? But what you don't see is the guy has a porcupine on his wife's shoulder. Hedgehog, porcupine, hedgehog. Sorry, someone loves hedgehogs. I am sorry. It's just, it's awkward. You're like, what? I don't, it looks all normal. And then you just see the hedgehog. Okay, what? That's just, first of all, you like see them making out, and then you look at their faces, and it's like, the guy on the left's face is like, I don't even know. Okay, I don't want to look at that one any longer. What about this one? There's many things to talk about in this photo. The first one being the number one dad trucker hat. That is the original trucker hat. This guy was not trying to be funny or cool or hip. He was serious about his number one dad hat. And then the lady with the white jacket, she's like, I'm so cool. Look at my hair. And then you see grandpa with a gun. And it's like, this is real. Okay. This was the caption. 1988, the year my family had the same haircut. Hey, business in the front, party in the back, right? Rocking the mullet. I just can't believe I get to do this on stage. I was like, When this idea hit me to share these, I was like, this is too good. Okay. This is what they said. This is a fairly recent photo. They said, we were getting professional family photos taken in Cathedral Park in Portland, Oregon. And as the sun started setting, more and more random people started flocking around us. This random drunk guy decided that he wanted to get in our picture. That's the random drunk guy. I can't remember if there's one more after. Oh, there is. There's this one. This one is too good. So, okay. This is actually before my time, but this used to be a thing. Some of you leaders in here that maybe are a little bit more mature, that i.e. older, you will get this. I think back in the day, they used to like do this cool thing. John, you probably have one of these, don't you?
Absolutely not.
You don't? I could have sworn. I would have sworn you. He's lying. I saw it at his house. I was here the other day. They used to do this thing. It's like you get like this silhouette portrait up there, and there's dad and his face and his kids and his wife are in his face, and it's awkward family photo. Okay, I think that was it. Oh, no, one more. Everything looks kind of normal. And then this is what it said. One, the guy in the rock star, the hair dude. But then the dude in the white thing, he goes, yeah, this really creepy photographer made me hold my brother's hand. That's what makes this one even more awkward. It's so awkward you guys aren't even laughing. Okay, moving on. Here we go. All right, so Family dynamics, man. Family dynamics are probably one of the more interesting aspects of life. So as we started out, we had you kind of talk about, what sibling order are you in? Because that's just so interesting. Sibling order to me is one of the more interesting things. Because depending on where you fall in your family, if you're in a big family or a small family, you're an only child, you're the second child, it's so interesting because it creates such a dynamic in your life, whether you notice it or not. So, man, it just, family dynamics are cool. But seriously, all joking aside, we all have a need to be in a family. That is a intrinsic need within all of us, to need to be in a family. That is a need that God created within us, to be in a family on this earth, to have a family, but then going further than that, to be in a spiritual family is at the core of our need. Our families, whether you guys realize it or not, your family is the biggest shaping agent in your life. And when I say shaping, what I mean is shaping your character, shaping your values, shaping how you act. You know, it's scary when you begin realizing, wow, I'm like just like my dad in this area. Because I love my dad, he's so awesome. But I used to notice like he's so chill. And then it finally hits this one point and he's like so mad. I mean, not like so mad, but he's like the chillest guy. And then when it finally hits this point where he's mad, then he's mad. And I'm like, I'm just like that. Like I'm chill. And then something makes me mad and then I'm angry. So it's funny when you start seeing how your parents, your family, they shape your life. And as many of you know, it can be for the good. It can be for the great good. And it can also be for the great bad that our families can impact us here on this earth. And then it's even crazier as you get into looking at families and you think about the dynamic of being adopted into a family. I know there's one person I know that is adopted. I don't know if they're here today. And the other of you may be adopted. You may be adopted into a family. And that is an even crazier dynamic because you just add in the fact that, you know, you're from another family and you don't always get why did you have this one family, you had to leave them to go into another. Sometimes you do. Sometimes there's a death of parents and you get adopted into another family. Sometimes parents aren't able to parent the way that they need to. And so the government decides you need to go with somebody else. So there's a lot of, and sometimes parents realize I can't be the parent and I want my child to have a better life than I can possibly give them. So there's a lot of aspects of why adoption happens, but man, adoption is a crazy dynamic that you throw in. But there's one just really cool aspect of adoption that I know is a hint and a look into the heart of God. When any adoption happens, the parents that are on the other side of the adoption, that are ones adopting, they have made a choice. A very decisive, a very pointed choice to say, I choose you. I choose you to be in my family. And that is cool to know that, to know that that person has chose you to be in their family. They loved you that much. And in the end, we know that they chose to make you a part of their family. Here's what Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6 says. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. I want to just highlight for you a few words in there. Chose, love, adoption, sonship, pleasure, will, grace. Just in those three verses are all of those words at the heart of God. God's heart right there that he chooses us. He adopts us into his family. It's just neat to think about the fact that God would choose us. Now, some people would struggle with this verse because it has the word predestined in there. And if you've never heard the word predestined, you're like, well, what does that mean? It basically means chosen, but it means like nothing could have affected it, that God had already chosen that it was going to happen. And some people struggle with this idea of predestination. But as I look at this verse, I think to myself, man, actually, that is so cool to know that God totally chose me to be in his family. He wanted me to be in his family. He adopted me as his son or his daughter into his family. That's pretty cool to know. And so as we kick today off, I want to ask you this question. Have you ever thought about the idea that you are so loved by God? So have you ever thought about the idea that you are so loved by God that one, he has already adopted you into his family? When you put your faith in him, he said, I've adopted you. You're now my son. You're now my daughter. So you ever thought about that? You're so loved that God adopted you into his family. Or have you ever thought about the fact that you can be adopted into God's family? So it's really, you're in one or the other today. You have placed your faith in Christ that he is your savior and you are adopted into his family. Or you're over here and there's the possibility that you could be adopted into his family. God says, God can say, no longer are you an orphan, no longer are you a stranger, no longer are you an alien to me, but I can adopt you into my family. You can become my son or my daughter. And you know what? That thought, the fact that you are adopted, you are his son, you are his daughter, it's not just like this thought or feeling that's out there, because I think sometimes we can take it as that. We can read, oh yeah, I'm God's son or daughter, I'm adopted by him, and but then it's really hard to put it in real terms because we're like, but I can see how, you know, in a real family on earth you can be adopted, but I don't get it with God. But that's not being a son or daughter. It's not just this out here term. It's a real thing that you can sense, experience, and feel and know, and it's truth. And we're going to talk about that today. Let me pray. Father, this is a deep issue that I can say I fully understand, but you have revealed yourself and your heart in this idea of adopting us as your sons or daughter into your family, and we then are children of the Most High. God, if that doesn't speak to these students, to these leaders, to me, that we are so loved. We are so loved. No matter what we do, we are so loved by you. Lord, I pray that that is beyond anything that comes across in my words, God, that you so love us, God, that you would bring us into your family. Amen. So Ephesians 1, 3 through 6 says, we are adopted into God's family, and he chose you. He chose you. So we can be adopted into God's family. He chose us. Let's talk about the family of God. Open up to the book of John with me. Open up to the book of John, chapter 1. The book of John, chapter 1. So today is what you call, I think, a teaching message. I want to help teach you. I want to help you see in God's word what it says to you. So open up to the book of John, chapter 1. And we're going to just read verse 12 and 13. So John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. I'm not going to have it on the screen, so I want you to follow with me. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. But as many as have received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, or to be in his family. Who, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So John lays it out in the first chapter of this gospel that he writes to talk about Jesus' life, that to be born into God's family has really nothing to do about anything earthly, anything with actual earthly parents, but is purely by the will of God and is a spiritual thing. So talking about God's family, just to help you get an idea, check the video clip out. All right, now you're like, how could Lee possibly draw any spiritual conclusions from Richie Rich? But I promise you, I can, and it's going to be fun. Okay, so the family of God. We talked about John chapter 1, where he says, so those that have believed, those that have received him, they can become children of God. So here's what it looks like to be adopted as a son or daughter of God. Here's what it means. The first thing that it means is we are like him. So when we're adopted, when we put our faith in him, we're adopted into his family. It means that we are like him, we resemble him, and we have his spirit. So this was kind of cool to think about. When you think about those kids that are adopted, even though they don't have their parents' DNA, their parents' genes, that their adopted parents, they still resemble them. They'll resemble what they dress like, how they eat, what they do, how they act. They'll take on their parents' values. They'll take on their parents' character. And I think that is just an example of what it's like with our Heavenly Father when we're adopted into his family. We begin, it means when we're his son or his daughter, we begin resembling him. We begin living like Christ wants us to live, having the same attitudes as him, growing in him, having the same desires. So we start looking like Jesus when his son or daughter. When we are adopted into God's family, God now lives in us and desires to guide us to live as he sees best. So Jesus does actually live in us, actually guides us and directs us in every aspect of life. Not just like big decisions, not just church decisions that we see as church decisions, but every little thing. Just like your earthly parents do. They want to help you. They want to guide you. Especially when you're younger, they're doing everything they can to help you in the right direction. So the second thing is that when we are adopted as a son or daughter of God, it means that we are united to Jesus, the Son of God, and we have the privileges that come along with that. So we become children of the Most High God. So just like Richie Rich, right? He was an heir. He was a child. So he took the same privileges that his dad had. So he got to have all these things, all this money, these roller coasters, all these different things. Why? Because he was one of the riches. His last name was Rich. And because of that, he was a son of his dad. And in that, he got to take on the same things that his dad got to have. Because he was a son. That was the right. That was the privilege. He didn't even have to really do anything to be able to take those on. He was already a son. He believed it. But it's interesting. All those things were at his disposal. The roller coasters, the coaches, the trainer, all these different things. But here's the thing. They could all be great. But if he doesn't believe it and receive it, I know that sounds kind of weird. But if he doesn't go, no, I am a son of my dad. I really am. If he doesn't believe that, then he's not going to go, well, let me take part in these things. Let me enjoy him. And in the same way, if we haven't believed in Christ and received him as our Savior, well, we can't take part in the things that he has for us. And in the same way, there's some of you in here that are in the family of God. And you're like, yeah, I'm a Christian. I got my free pass to heaven. And you're like, but I don't enjoy this Christian life. I don't get it. I don't enjoy it. And God says, you got to believe. You got to receive. So you've believed it, but have you really received it and said, yeah, I believe it. I want to take it on. So here's some of the privileges that you have when you are a son or daughter of God. The first one is you have confidence in this life. Confidence in this life. I think there's really the whole world is always looking for peace, always looking for security. Now, that comes in a lot of different ways. But even as we look in America, you know, we're all about, this might not matter to you now, but we're like, well, let me get my 401k straight. If my retirement's good, then I'm good. If my house is all in good condition, well, I'm good. If my relationships are all good, then I'm good. If the world is good, I'm good. Well, the problem is the world's never good. We have things like ISIS. We have all these different things that are attacking us. We have things like the economy going down. But when we are a son or a daughter of God, we can have confidence in this life, knowing that no matter what happens on this earth, our home isn't here. There's an amount of, we have to bring it to God. We will be stressed, but then we bring it to him. But we can have confidence in this life to know that God is our Father. He is in control. He is in control. The second privilege is that the power of God is in us. And this is something that I talked about. But this is what I thought was really cool about that clip. Did you catch the part where the butler says to him, the power of your father is in you? See, I told you I could draw spiritual things from Richie Rich. It's pretty cool. He says, the power of your father is in you. I mean, what does that really mean? It just means that Richie Rich can look back and go, oh, well, my dad did this thing, so I can do it. But what's cool, when God is our father, the power of God is literally in us. The power of God is in us. Jesus lives in us, can guide and can direct us, can help us to love those that we think are unlovable, can help us to serve when we feel like we have nothing to give, can help us to reach out to our friends, can help us in the times when we feel lonely because we're the only one that's living it. And it can go on. The power of God is real in you because you are his son or his daughter. You are his son or you are his daughter. The next thing, the next privilege is we have the assurance our adoption cannot be changed. One thing that is kind of almost, I don't want to say universal, but is pretty common within children that are adopted or have had to leave their family, there's this underlying feeling that, well, will my next family be the one that will actually love me, that will actually stay with me, that will actually keep me around even when I don't act like I should be loved? And that's because on this earth, they have been let down. But what's cool about God is he's unchanging. And when we are a son or daughter of his, we have the assurance that when he has adopted us into his family, it will never change. God, I love the verse in the song, I think it's in Christ Alone, that No one can pluck me out of God's hand. I love that. No one. When we are God's son or daughter, we have the assurance that we are adopted forever and it will never change. No matter what we do, no matter what someone else does, we have the assurance that we are in God's hand, that he loves us, he has adopted us. That's cool. That's what gives us confidence in this life. So we know we're his son or daughter. We have the privileges. The next privilege is that we can go before God to talk to him. We can go before the throne of God, the throne of grace, and talk to God. You read the Psalms. That's what David's doing. That's what the writers of the Psalms are doing. They're just going before God and saying, at times, life stinks. God, it's hard. I don't get it. Why are you doing this? Why are you putting me through this? And then at other times, they're going to God and they're saying, God, you are so good. You are so good to walk with me. That is what the privilege they have and that you can have, that you maybe have, is to be able to go before God and talk to him and know that he listens. You know, we love when we can, I think you guys love when maybe it's your parent, maybe it's an authority in your life, maybe it's a leader in your life. When you go to them and they have their undivided attention. They're not on their phone, they're not on the computer, they're not working, they're not this. You have their undivided attention to talk to them, and you know that they're really hearing you. When someone really hears you, I'm not talking about just listen, but actually hears you, your feelings, what you're thinking, all the motivation behind it, that is an awesome feeling because you're like, they've heard me. My feelings have been validated. And at the same time, they want to help you in whatever that is. And when we go before God, that's what we have. We know that God listens to us. He knows our hearts. He knows our feelings. He knows our motives. And we can talk to him. We can lay it all out before him. God's scared of our doubts, guys. I don't think God's scared of our fears. I think he's God, and God says, bring them before me. I'll answer you. If you're really seeking me, I'm not talking about just coming and being like, yeah, God, just answer me so I know you're real. I'm talking about if you're coming before God saying, God, I got some doubts. I got some fears, but I know you're my father. I want to bring him to you. God will answer you. God will meet you there. And then this isn't an exhaustive list, but the last privilege that I have to talk about today is that when we're a son or daughter of God, we can know that God disciplines us out of love. God disciplines us out of love. Discipline can be a hard thing. When we get disciplined as kids, we don't like it. High school, whenever, it doesn't matter, middle school, younger, we don't like being disciplined. Why? Because it means our pride's being broken down, saying that you are wrong and you need to be corrected. And I love it in the book of James. James says, you can know that when your heavenly father disciplines you, maybe that you get caught for something you're doing. Maybe that's the inner feeling of, I've let God down, you know, the Spirit's working on you. That's God disciplining you. You can know that is out of love because God wants you to be more like him. Remember, we resemble him. We're his son. We're his daughter. We resemble his heart. In the same way, when he disciplines us, we can know that it is out of love. He wants us to be more like him. He's like, dude, I've got such a better way for you. I've got a better way that you can enjoy more. And that's what parents do. That's what parents are wanting to do. They're wanting to guide us into a better way. So we can accept that, and we can know that that's actually a privilege, that the Most High God, when we're one of his sons or daughter, that when he disciplines us, it is out of love. So as I move on to the third part of this message and kind of last part as the end is, am I a part of the family of God? So I've talked about God has adopted us into his family. He chose us. If you put your faith in him, you're adopted, you're a son or daughter. If you haven't, that's open to you. Talk about what's some of the privilege, what's the great things about being in God's family, that we're an heir of his, we're a child of his, we get to take part in the power that he has, all these different things. But then it comes to this question of, am I part of the family of God? So I want to ask you this question. What would be holding me back? What would be holding me back? I want to open up to 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? So Paul is pretty blunt here when he's writing to the church in Corinth, and he's saying, test yourselves to see if you really are in the faith, if you really are in the family That's not a question that I can, a leader here, I can kind of help you look into to see, but there's some ways that we can know. One of them is, sorry, I want to flip back to the to John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and John chapter 3, verses 19 to 20. And here's what it says. Just so you know, it's not my words, but it's Jesus' words when he says this. It says, this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. He who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. So one reason why maybe we haven't come in the family of God is just the honest truth that even as you sit here today, you're like, I like sin. Sin and darkness are equated in the Bible. They're the same. And that's what John's saying here. He's saying, since we don't come to the family because we like sin. And we think we know that when we come to God, well, all my fun's going to be ended. I'm not going to really be able to do what I really want to. So we love darkness. We love sin. Well, the second part of that is we think we've been too bad. Some of us live with a guilt. We walk around with a guilt all the time. We walk around in chains that's like, I've just been too bad. I've done too many things in my life. God really couldn't love me. So it's either I love my sin so much, I don't want to come. I don't want to accept him, trust him. Or it's, man, I've just been too bad. God could never love me. And that is the farthest thing from the truth. I got what I call a myth buster for you. A myth buster. I think this is something that Christians walk around with, those that really are in the family, and I think a lot of the world walks around with this, and I say this is a myth buster, and I'll show you the verse that says this, but this is what it says. Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but to save it. You guys have all heard John 3:16, right? Most of us have heard John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever lives in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, that's an awesome verse because we realize God came to save everybody. Everybody has the opportunity to be adopted into his family. But then, I don't know how many of you read verse 17, but here's what it says, and this is the myth buster. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. If that is not encouraging, God didn't come to judge the world. Man, we think that as Christians, oh, we got to judge the world. We got to set the world straight. The truth is God will work. God will do what he needs to do in our lives to help us be more like him. If we're his son or daughter, he said we'll resemble him. We'll be like him. He'll do the work. You need to know if you're in here today and you're saying, I've been too bad. I love sin, whatever it is. Know that God hasn't come to judge you, but to save you. And he will work. He will work. So that we kind of take that litmus test. We're asking ourselves, you know, am I in the family? John 3:16 that, and 3:17 that God didn't come to condemn the world, to judge the world, but he came to save it. And we do that litmus test. So what's the litmus test is, you put stuff on a litmus test. I don't know exactly how it all works, but you realize it can show you the acidity of something. It'll reveal, is it a base? Is it an acid? And sometimes we do a test in our lives and wondering, am I in the family of God? And some of those things that we could ask ourselves, and I would encourage you, if you're wondering about this whole idea, am I in the family of God? Am I really a believer? Go to read the book of 1 John. Don't just totally trust what I say. Go read the book of 1 John. There's 1, 2, 3 John. Read the first one. I believe God will reveal very much to you if you are or not. But one is the love of God in me? Ask yourself, is the love of God in me? So does my life reveal a changed life? Does my life reveal a change? This isn't perfection. This isn't, do I have it all down? Am I perfect? I'm not talking about that. But I'm saying, does my life reveal a changed life? A difference in attitudes, a difference in the way that I talk, a difference in the way that I think. Now, God is always working on that throughout our lives. But is there a change? Does my life reveal a changed life? The second thing is, God says, if you love me, then my love is in you. And if my love is in you, then you will love your brother. You will love your brother and sister. So do you have in you a love for people? I'm not saying that people don't annoy you, people don't frustrate you. That happens to me. But as I come before God and put myself before him, God speaks to me and says, but you can love them because my love is in you. And then what do? I say, you're right, God, I can't do it, but you can because your love is in me. The last thing, kind of that litmus test is the power of sin being dismantled in my life. And that's a great one because we can know that, man, God's not looking for perfection. He's not looking for us to be the most moral people, to always give all our money away, or all these different things. But is the power of sin being broken down in my life? Is God working in you? Those are just a few things that you can look at to say, am I in the family of God? So as I close, I just want to come back to this. I'm going to come back to John chapter 1. That verse again, verses 12 and 13, where he says, but as many have received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. You may or may not have heard this term before. It's kind of gone out of style, but people used to be called born again Christians. And that's kind of a weird term. Actually, there's a guy in the Bible, Nicodemus, who basically is like, Jesus, I don't get it, like born again. I can't go back into the womb and be born again. I mean, he was being very literal about it. But it's when it says born again, a new birth, that's talking about a spiritual birth. Because it's literally like you are a new person. Because God now comes and dwells and lives within you. So my question to you today is have you had that spiritual birth, that born again? Are you in the family of God? And here's the verse, John 14:6. It says, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way, the truth, the life. I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. As I was praying through this message and kind of what to say at the end, I feel like we're in a little bit of a kind of a politically correct society in the world now. And it's kind of like wrong to claim that Jesus is the only way. And I've even had some Christians before say, who am I to judge? And we're not judging. I can't get away from John 14:6, where it says, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, the life. He doesn't say I'm one way. I'm one truth. He says, I'm the only way. I'm the only way to God, to eternal life that starts here and lasts forever. If you're here today and you've been thinking about this Christian thing, you've been kind of back and forth, you've been wondering, I'm proclaiming today that Jesus says he's the way, the truth, the life. John 14:6. Go look it up for yourself. And if you haven't accepted him as your Savior, haven't realized that you're sinful, you can never do enough on your own to make it to heaven. Make today the day that you believe it and begin walking with him. And he will adopt you into his family. You then have all the rights, all the privileges. And for you here today that are adopted into God's family, I hope you wrote those privileges down. Go back, just even look at them once and go, man, God, these are the privileges I have of being a son or daughter of yours. Am I really taking hold of these? Have I really received these? My passion is that we, as everybody in this room, will go, I really want to receive these things and start living this out and see God move and work within this group. And I believe that he can. I just want to have a moment where we just close our eyes. I want to give anyone in here that today is like, today's the day. Today's the day I want to say, Jesus, you're my Savior. I realize I need you. I can't fight sin on my own. To get rid of the guilt that says I'm just too bad, to get rid of that guilt, to come before Jesus right now and say, you're the way, you're the truth, you're the life. If you're there today, I just pray that prayer, just a simple one, just saying, God, you're the way, you're the one. I realize I can't do it on my own. There's nothing else that could ever do it for me but you. If that's you today, talk to him and say that right now. I just want to give you a moment just to talk to him. Just talk to Jesus. And if you're here too and you're just saying, Lee, I'm in the family, but I'm struggling. Once again, there's no guilt there from Christ. Christ saying, come to me, come before my throne. You have access to me. You're my son, you're my daughter. I love you. And that the feelings you're feeling right now, feeling like you're not good enough, put those away as guilt and go before God. And God is saying to you, I love you. I died for you. The reason I'm even disciplining you is because I want you to be more like me. I'm your heavenly Father. I love you. Let's take a moment to talk to him. God, this is a message that can be one that seems good, and then we walk out of this door and it's like, yeah, I'm in the family of God. I'm a son or daughter of God. Lord, I know that it is very much a Holy Spirit thing for us to really get this and understand this as truth and to experience it. And so, Lord, I pray that your Spirit will move within these students, within these leaders. God, to know that they are so loved by you, that they are a son or daughter of yours. God, you have a great mission for them on this earth, a great purpose for them. And so, Lord, help us just to know this, to believe it, to receive it, to accept it, Lord. And I pray for anyone here for the first time today that made that decision to trust you, that you're the only way. That, God, they will then go tell one leader in here about that so we can rejoice with them and, God, begin helping them in this new life with you as they are born again. So, God, we give you the praise and the glory for all that you do. Amen.